This is Poetry Off the Shelf from the Poetry Foundation, June 11th, 2013. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, warts and all. First, there was Jack Perlutsky.
Behold the bold umbrellaphant.
Then came Marianne Hoberman.
Dining with his older daughter, Dad forgot to order water.
Followed by J. Patrick Lewis.
When I was a boy in Louisiana, we wore blue jeans and a red bandana.
And now the Poetry Foundation is pleased to announce Ken Nesbitt as the nation's fourth Children's Poet Laureate. The honor brings with it a $25,000 cash prize and a mandate to expose more children to poetry over the next 2 years while he holds the title of Children's Poet Laureate. Ken Nesbitt is the author of many books of poetry for children, including The Tidy Whitey Spider and The Revenge of the Lunch Ladies. Congratulations, Ken.
Well, thank you very much, Curtis.
Now, before we get into the history, syntax, and transgressive prosody of poetry written for children, can I get you to read your poem, Swimming Ool?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Here is Swimming Ool. Swimming in the swimming pool is where I like to be. Wearing underwater goggles so that I can see. Yesterday, before I swam, I drank a cup of tea. Now the pool's a swimming ool because I took a pee.
I will never forget the look on my daughter's face. She was about 4 years old when I told her that old chestnut that the pool will turn a funny color if anybody pees in it. That lie alone seems to have dramatically improved water quality throughout the nation's swimming pools. But I think your poem threatens to reverse years of progress.
I don't know what you're talking about. This is entirely just a grammatical joke.
Yeah.
It's the letter P was removed from the sign.
Yeah. You have kids, and they're adolescents now. Did you try this poem out on them when you wrote it?
Actually, my kids weren't born yet when I wrote this poem.
Oh.
I probably wrote this poem in 1996, and my oldest child was born in 1998.
So what gave you the idea to write this poem? Let me ask you that. was it your own memories of peeing in the swimming pool, or what?
No. In fact, I made this poem up in my head while I was swimming in the middle of a lake.
Really?
My family had rented a houseboat for the weekend, and we were out. It was a beautiful, hot, sunny summer day, and I had jumped off the boat, and I was just paddling along when it occurred to me that I hadn't written a poem in a couple of weeks.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, you know, I should just make up a poem right now. And swimming was the first thing that came to mind, and so I just started right along with this. And when I got out, I dried off, I wrote it down, and there you have it.
Now, we just witnessed another national spelling bee, somewhat controversial. So I thought it would be appropriate to get you to read another very short poem of yours called Perfect. Can you read that one for us?
I sure can. Today I managed something that I've never done before. I turned in this week's spelling quiz and got a perfect score. Although my score was perfect, it appears I'm not too bright. I got a perfect zero. Not a single answer right.
Now, where'd that poem come from? Can you remember the circumstances that brought it about?
Well, this poem was written for a collection of school poems called When the Teacher Isn't Looking.
Mm-hmm.
And for that collection, which ultimately contained about 50 poems, I actually wrote twice that number. So I wrote 100 poems for this collection. And in order to do that, I just sat down and I jotted down ideas for everything I could think of that was at all related to school. The principal, the custodian, the pencil sharpener, the cafeteria food and testing and so forth. And so this just came out of trying to make a joke about testing. I think about this time, my children were just starting to take spelling tests once a week in school, and it might have come from that.
Do you ever get a little pushback from teachers and parents about your poems, thinking, you know, I want them to study, I want them to try hard, and you're sending a different message?
No, maybe once every few years, somebody will say, oh my gosh, you're making fun of teachers.
Uh-huh.
That's not such a good idea. But for the most part, I think people get the point that if this encourages kids to read, to have fun reading, and to voluntarily want to go to the library and check out a book, then it's a good thing.
So you wrote your first poem for children in 1994, before your own children were born, and your first book, My Foot Fell Asleep, came out in 1998. What got you into writing children's poetry in the first place?
Well, I always loved children's poetry. As early as I can remember, my parents read Mother Goose nursery rhymes. We read Dr. Seuss books when I was a child. Mm-hmm. When I was in elementary school, I remember discovering the nonsense verse of Lewis Carroll and memorizing humorous poems. And so I always enjoyed it. But then I kind of forgot about it for about 15 years. And in my 30s, I was cleaning my apartment one night, and I was listening to a CD by Dr. Demento.
Dr. Demento, the old radio stereo from the 1960s and 70s, right?
That's right. And this CD was a collection of various novelty songs, mainly. Weird Al Yankovic and that sort of thing. Mm. But there was one recording of Shel Silverstein reciting his poem, Sarah Cynthia Sylvia Stout Would Not Take the Garbage Out, on there. Mm-hmm. Now, it happened that earlier that evening, I was at dinner with a friend of mine who had a daughter who at the time was 4 years old, and she was doing absolutely everything she could do in her power to get out of eating her dinner. We were at a restaurant where they had a kids' food bar, and so on her plate she had macaroni and cheese and french fries and pizza.
Now, who could pass that up?
Yeah, who could pass that up? And all she would do was just rearrange her food and then point at her plate, and she'd say, look how much I ate. Mm-hmm. Can I have dessert? And I sort of made a connection between what she was doing and this fictional character, Sarah Cynthia Sylvia Stout, who wouldn't take out the garbage. And I thought, hey, I could write a poem about a little girl who won't eat her dinner. And so I just turned off the CD, stopped cleaning, sat down, wrote this poem. Hmm. I printed it out. I took it with me to work the next day. I showed it to my friend and some other friends, and they were impressed. They couldn't believe that I had written something like that. And I thought, well, that was kind of fun. Maybe I'll write another one. And one thing led to another, and then I had a new hobby.
What were you doing in the meantime before you got into children's poetry writing? I mean, presumably you weren't earning your living from it immediately.
No, at that time I was a computer software developer. Uh-huh. At that time I was working for Microsoft, and I left there after a couple of years and started my own software company. And so computer software development is relatively lucrative. It's boring, but it pays well. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to pay the bills by doing this work that I didn't especially care that much about during the day. And then in the evening, I would come home and write funny poems as my avocation, as my hobby. Mm-hmm. After my first few books were published, I decided that I would see if I could give it a go full time. And so I closed up my company, and since then I've published quite a number of books of children's poetry.
I've spoken with all the previous children's poets laureate, and the one thing I think they all have in common was quick and easy access to memories of what it was like to be a child. Do you have that same kind of quick and easy access?
Not so much. I mean, I do remember what it was like to be a child, but what I do is I visit a lot of elementary schools, uh-huh. and I do assembly programs for kids. I do writing workshops for kids. In other words, I talk to a lot of kids, and I observe them. I watch their behavior. Mm. When I see a kid run up to a door and say, I'm going to go in here, but wait, first I'm going to turn into liquid. I think, oh, man, I need to use that. Yeah. That is the spirit I want to put into my poems.
Let me get you to read another poem. This time, how about a longer one? How about Willie's Wart, which seems to capture the fascination that children have with the peculiarities of the body?
All right. Now, I should say that I wrote this poem, or I co-authored this poem with a poet named Linda Knaus.
Okay.
And this was actually Linda's idea. And she sent me the poem saying, I've got a good start on this, but it just doesn't feel complete to me. And I think it was about five stanzas when she sent it to me. And I looked at it and I said, oh, I know exactly what to do with this. And I doubled it in length. So it's now 10 stanzas. And I sent it back to her and she loved it and said, this is perfect. And so this was how we published. So here is Willie's wart. Willie had a stubborn wart upon his middle toe. Regardless, though, of what he tried, the wart refused to go. So Willie went and visited his family foot physician, who instantly agreed it was a stubborn wart condition. The doctor tried to squeeze the wart. He tried to twist and turn it. He tried to scrape and shave the wart. He tried to boil and burn it. He poked it with a pair of tongs. He pulled it with his tweezers. He held it under heat lamps, and he crammed it into freezers. Regrettably, these treatments were of very little use. He looked at it and sputtered, "Ach, I cannot get it loose! I'll have to get some bigger tools to help me to dissect it. I need to pound and pummel it, bombard it, and inject it." He whacked it with a hammer, and he yanked it with a wrench. He seared it with a welding torch, despite the nasty stench. He drilled it with a power drill. He wrestled it with pliers. He zapped it with a million volts from large electric wires. He blasted it with gamma rays, besieged it with corrosives, assaulted it with dynamite and nuclear explosives. He hit the wart with everything, but when the smoke had cleared, poor Willie's stubborn wart remained and willied. Disappeared.
Ken Nesbitt, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Ken Nesbitt is our new Children's Poet Laureate. You can see his children's books recommendations for June on our website, poetryfoundation.org. Let us know what you think of this program. Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The theme music for this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For Poetry Off the Shelf, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.